Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of January 7th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's kind of like the official first podcast of the new year.
Yay!
Since, because it's like time travel and stuff from the last couple weeks, but... but I think we got a pretty good show as usual. Back to the regular show. Hope you enjoyed our commentary and our top 10 best, top 5 worst lists over the last couple weeks. So I want to get right into it with news like we usually do. And what kicked things off, we got the full Red Band trailer for the upcoming Evil Dead remake. And
fap.
Dear God, it is like candidate, it's like 2013 most violent movie confirmed.
Yes. Best horror movie of the last, I don't know, 5 years easily, hands down.
I won't go that far yet, Joe, but.
Oh, I will.
Okay. I'll go that far.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you haven't seen this trailer, like, stop what you're doing, go watch it right now and then come back. But
yeah, hit pause, dude.
It is insane.
It's pretty much, like, if you look at it, like, it's what people must have thought of the original Evil Dead.
So now they have, when it came now out. They have a budget and special effects.
Yes. But, like, the original Evil Dead, like, it's gritty before gritty was, like, a buzzword. You know what I mean? It's just, like, it's raw and it's like, a really good, like, old punk album. You know? Like, if you listen to the Misfits, like, Earth AD, like... it's not pretty, and it doesn't really sound that great, but it's got a lot of, like, spunk to it, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And the original Evil Dead had fucking spunk. Like, it was a great story, it was very fucking psychologically creepy, and I'm sure it shocked a lot of fucking people. But now, it's like, okay, now that people kind of know what to expect from the Evil Dead, like, now we need to turn it on its head. And I think they've done that because, Chris, you mentioned this to me when we were first talking about the trailer when it, you know, originally came out, that it looks like, you know, like a Saw movie, like Saw versus, like, Evil Dead or something like that.
It's gotten that weird modern torture feel, like the high tension.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't, like, to me, I think there's a difference between, like, gore in the sense of, like, Human Centipede or, like, you know, the Saw movies more obviously where, like, a person's doing it. This is more like a fucking awesome, ultra-violent ghost story, which is fine by me, you know? Because as of late, especially with, like, Paranormal Activity, like, you don't really see ghosts, like, fucking people up. You see ghosts like, oh, he... like messed our shit up, or like
they raised the chairs in the kitchen in a weird way.
Yeah. I mean, even though like cool stuff happens, like never are you like, oh my god, this is horrifying. I am horrified, or like, you know, wow, that ghost really fucking murdered that dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually possession movies, it's always at the end reveals that the ghost is like possessing someone.
Yes, exactly. This, it seems like, and from an interview that I saw with the cast. They were, like, literally everyone said the same thing, but in different ways, that the movie isn't slow to start. Like, there's not a whole lot of development. Like, they kind of hit the ground running, and it, like, doesn't let you go. Which is fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, the like, knife thing?
Which one?
The sloppy, like, razor blade makeout?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was badass. Badass. And even when she's just, like, in the trap door, like, looking at him, like, saying that shit, like, we're gonna get you. I was, like, a little freaked out. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. Like, it was successfully creepy.
And the trees.
Yes, hentai tree is back. And this time, it's personal. But even more exciting than, you know, Super Hentai Tree being back, I'm really hopeful that this movie is a commercial success. Because, I mean, if you look at Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the new iteration of it that just came out, you know, it did pretty well in its opening weekend. And, you know, it did well enough to merit them, like, moving forward with a sequel now. And I'm not really concerned about them following up, you know, this Evil Dead with a direct sequel to it. I'm more concerned about them seeing, hey, this is still very much a series that people, like, love and aren't ready to let go of. And there's still some more stuff we could do with this. So, yeah, maybe let's make a, you know, rebooted Evil Dead, you know, sequel or whatever. But how about that Army of Darkness too?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it, please. Unless maybe someone at Marvel is listening and wants to do, you know, Marvel Zombies and bring Ash into the mix and make arguably the best movie of all time,
mm-hmm.
next to, like, Citizen Kane and Gone with the Wind.
either of those.
Like, it'd be weird to have a franchise have another movie, you know, like, two franchises come together. Or, you know, like the same unit, like the same franchise, but two different stories at the same time.
Yeah, it would take like, I guess, Paramount working with who's producing, who has the rights to Army of Darkness? I think those are different technically from Evil Dead.
Really? I thought they were owned by the same. Like,
I think
Fox Group.
I believe so, but I think New Line still owns Army of Darkness. Because it doesn't... Oh, it's weird. I don't know. I could be wrong on that.
Universal, it says, well, distributed it originally. I don't know who has it now, but...
Oh, okay. Huh. Weird. But, listen, I'll tell you this much. When, back in the day, and this is a bit of a long story, so I'll circumvent that, but... I'll just say that when I was in high school, I was in a position where I was chatting back and forth via email with Robert Englund, who everyone listening to this probably knows best as Freddy Krueger or the Mangler or whatever. And in the course of the email, like, obviously I was saying, like, what a big fan I was and shit, but we just sort of riffed on, like, places they could go with a potential Freddy vs. Jason sequel. Like, just, like, from a fan sort of perspective, like, cool shit that they could do, or, like, how would you bring in, like, Pinhead or something like that to, like, sort of raise the stakes? And he said, no joke, that because the Army of Darkness rights at the time were with New Line, and New Line had the rights to any potential Freddy versus Jason sequel, they wanted to bring Ash into the mix,
mm-hmm.
for a sequel, and have that be not, like, Army of Darkness 2, but just have it be this sort of awesome, like, battle royale type movie that isn't really canon for any of the series, but is just like, fuck it, give the fans what they want, and maybe we'll make some money, like, in the process. So, to this day, I cry myself to sleep over the fact that that did not happen.
Wasn't there a comic, though, or something?
Yeah, that's basically how they were, like, that's how they dealt with it. Because I'm pretty sure that there are people who were obviously much more invested in it than I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're like, oh my god, we might actually make this movie. And then it was like, nope, sorry, not going to happen. And they're like, oh god, I need to, like, deal with this.
Well, it would have been the precursor to, like, the Avengers of, like, every this two
yes.
movies coming together.
Pretty much.
All right, so...
So Evil Dead.
Yeah,
yeah,
so that's,
we'll
yeah.
see it.
It's coming out this spring. I think it's coming out in March.
Not soon enough, man. That's all I know.
April 12th.
All right, cool. Because I recall I talked a lot of shit about them remaking this. Mm-hmm. I talked a lot of shit. I love the Evil Dead series so much.
And the first teaser was all right.
Eh.
This one was just like, you guys like blood?
Yeah. So like, you motherfuckers like violence?
Yeah. Y'all like razor blades?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Man, it looks killer. Mm-hmm.
So actually, kind of in the same vein there, we learned last week or earlier this week that another horror remake, the Carrie remake, got pushed back to October, which makes sense because it's a horror movie. So
yeah,
right.
But also has like it's coming out the week before Paranormal Activity 5, so I think it's probably stronger competition than it might have had.
Well, it wants a pit against itself against, like, real challengers, because it's, like, if it came out, what?
I think that one was March.
March? Yeah. Like, no good horror movie comes out in March. And, it's, like, it's almost as bad as being, like, released in February. Mm-hmm. You know, like, a February drama or something. Like, when did, Anonymous, that Shakespeare movie, come out?
Where did that come from, Chris?
I'm just saying, because, like, that was, like, it was The Gray and then Anonymous. Those are, the movies for the first 2 months that came out for the last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago. And it was just, like, there was no competition. So it's either you saw one or the other. So I'm saying, like, it came out in March. It's like, oh, a horror movie.
It kind of works for, like, a bunch of the shittiest found footage movies come out, like, in the first couple weeks of the year. Like, Devil Inside and just make a ton of money.
Right, because it's like there's nothing else.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre just made a bunch of money this past weekend because it's the only movie out.
For horror?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like it's something like it probably says like, oh, it's either like ingenious marketing to show that it can compete or it's terrible marketing where it's like, maybe this will get swept under the carpet.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, like if it really wants to be like the king of nothing, have it come out like in December. Where like there really is no horror movies.
But then it gets just destroyed by the huge
Christmas
like, second summer. But yeah, so it looked pretty good from that first teaser trailer, so.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly got the, you know, Carrie part of Carrie down.
You know, I don't think people ever talk about Carrie 2.
The Rage.
Carrie 2. Where it doesn't even star Carrie anymore, right? Like, it's just, like, someone else.
Isn't it Carrie's daughter?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Or, like...
Her best friend's roommate's cousin.
Your neighbor. Some girl who heard of Carrie. I mean, I don't know.
It's like American Psycho 2.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Because that was like Patrick Bateman's like cousin or something, right?
No, it was.
No, please, no.
No,
it was
Patrick Bateman that died, and then it was someone else that just like killed Patrick Bateman.
Yeah. She's like, no, I'm the ultimate American Psycho.
Yeah, that was the and then listen, if a movie
there was just like
if William Shatner is your villain in a movie, it's not a good movie.
And was just like, damn it, Meg.
Not one titty in that whole movie. I said it. Not one titty. You know why? Like, I know.
Yeah.
I watched it on Cinemax from beginning to end thinking, okay, this is a straight-to-DVD sequel.
Let's go, Mila Kunis.
It's good. Yeah, pretty much. Like, oh, it'll be good for a boob.
Nah.
Not the case. The credit coming up was like a pie in the face. A big boobless pie.
I'm not sure I want a pie with boobs, but...
Hey, man. Just keeps in it real.
So, anyway, moving on to other news from the past couple weeks. We got some casting news, or possible casting news, for Guardians of the Galaxy.
JGL.
Which, they said actually that's not happening anymore. But
I know. But he is in Sin City 2.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Sin City 2 casting.
Oh, sorry, I'll zip it.
But, so, I think, for like, so... They're trying to cast for the characters, and so the main, like, the leader of the Guardians, Star-Lord, a.k.a. Peter Quill, who's, like, sort of, he's, like, kind of like a Han Solo sort of character. Like, he's from Earth, and then he just becomes, like, the leader of, like, this crazy space force. Or, like, Hal Jordan a little bit, I guess. They said Joseph Gordon-Levitt might have been the frontrunner for that, but then that's not happening anymore. But they said Michael Rosenbaum, a.k.a. Lex Luthor from Smallville, mm-hmm. and also John Krasinski from The Office.
Oh, boy, this is sounding worse and worse.
And there's a couple other ones. There's, like, who the hell is... There's like a couple other like rumored ones. I think it was like James McAvoy or something.
Ryan Reynolds again.
Ryan Reynolds playing Hal Jordan. But yeah, and then also they announced for like Drax the Destroyer, who's like the crazy space Kratos of the Guardians. He's basically like genetically engineered to kill Thanos. The frontrunner for that one, Isaiah Mustafa, aka the Old Spice guy. And
you get a commercial into death,
aka hypothetical Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. And then WWE former superstar or current superstar Batista, Dave Batista.
Former.
Yeah,
sad face.
Mm-hmm.
Or the gold dude from The Gentleman with the Iron Fists.
Mm-hmm.
That movie do good?
Nope.
Oh.
Look for it on DVD in a couple weeks, Chris.
Cover art by the RZA.
Yes. Everything by the RZA.
RZA by the RZA.
Will he come to my apartment and, like, give me commentary?
RZA presents a RZA production.
While you watch the movie. Yeah. It's like you hit the commentary button and your doorbell rings. He's got, like, a bag of cheese doodles and a six-pack of Budweiser. He's like, let's hash this shit out, dog. Like, oh, God.
Let me tell you the story about this movie. Yeah. I'm in.
He's like, pause that shit. I got a story.
Yeah, press the RZA button on your DVD.
There should be a interactive second screen app like there was for Avengers and Dark Knight Rises. It's just like a Skype conversation opens up with RZA. It's like, hey man, what the fuck? I'm sorry, RZA. I had the app open. I'm watching the movie.
Someone's actually watching Miami with Iron Fist? What?
Kung Lee's a lion. Like a gritty Cats reboot.
That Russell Crowe's keeping it real, son.
He's a white guy who brought a gun to a knife fight.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy casting, who knows if any of that's real, but probably it's like 3 years away or 2 years away, so. Definitely way closer is Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For. And that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be in that movie. Along with a bunch of other people.
Hurrah. As Batman.
Yeah. As Robin, whatever his name is.
Robin Bleak.
And then they also announced that Josh Brolin is going to be taking over for, Clive Owen. So Josh Brolin's going to be playing Dwight in the Sin City 2.
Like pre-facelift or post?
Well, it's whatever, like, because he gets facial surgery, right? To, like, mm-hmm. get a whole new face. So I guess it's going to be wherever Dane's
off.
Yeah, it's face off. Nicolas Cage shows up.
Oh.
As Chu Man Fu Manchu. But yeah, wherever. I think. Doesn't Dane to Kill For, like, take place in between some of the, like, Sin City stories?
I never read them in order, so I don't know.
I don't think it's a. Is it a prequel? I think it takes place in between, like, the Marv story and the other, like, another story or something. So, it's really weird timeline for Sin City. And then, they also said that Christopher Maloney is also going to be in the movie as some sort of cop. Created just for the movie, not in the comics. Maybe he'll be his character from Law & Order.
Then we got Ice-T.
Oh my god, yes. And then we already mentioned like a couple weeks ago that like Dennis Haysbert's gonna be taking over for Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's weird how it's like they couldn't find a little like stocky black guy, but they got like the next best size.
We can't match for size. We can match for voice.
Yeah. Like, they're just like, fuck it. We'll just get the...
We'll get the president.
Another famous black guy.
Our greatest president.
Like, it'd been bad if, like, they got Sinbad. And, like, all right, Sinbad, you gotta put, like, 10 pounds of muscle on. Or, you gotta put on, like, 30 pounds of muscle.
And this was, like, Sinbad's, like, gritty comeback.
Gritty comeback.
Everyone's just like, holy shit, did you see Sinbad?
He's nah, you. Man. His gritty comeback was, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That was awesome. Did you guys see that episode where, like, fucking Charlie's having the hallucinations that, like, that he's in this, like, mental institution?
No.
Yeah, okay.
And it's fucking Sinbad and Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20. It's fucking hilarious. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Sinbad.
I mean, that's, like, really the last time I ever saw him. It was in that episode. And I was like, I actually saw that episode when it premiered. And that was, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I believe in you, Sinbad.
First, dude, I love Sinbad.
First kid,
I'm
too.
Not even, like, joking. Seriously. First Kid 2, House Guest 2.
Mm-hmm. Can you go all the way to?
Yeah, let's just make a spin-off movie. Like, what happened to him?
He has no kid. It's just all in his head. It's like Taxi Driver. Yeah, Sin City 2. I think they're trying to get that out this year. So.
Oh, that's good.
Which I mean,
I'm a fan.
Robert Rodriguez can shoot movies in like for a couple months and get them ready for the end of the year release. So.
As much shit as people give Robert Rodriguez, he really does know how to, like, really get a production up and running.
Efficient.
Yes. The most Mexican efficient way he can possibly find.
All right, so...
Loving it.
In other news, we got some updates about Godzilla. I know, Joe, you're excited for that one.
Yeah, oh my god, am I excited.
May 2014...
Yes, and fucking, they finally announced, like, you know, that there's actually going to be more than just Godzilla in it,
like,
which is pretty amazing.
It's like another monster, or?
At least two.
Oh, man.
Is what they're saying.
Like,
yeah,
classic,
they're saying
like,
that
classic brought back, or?
They didn't say explicitly, but also fucking Frank Darabont is rewriting the script.
Yep.
So for those of you playing catch-up, that's Frank Darabont of The Walking Dead and the fucking Shawshank Redemption, mm-hmm. like that little movie.
And also highly underrated Mist. The Mist.
Yeah, oh my god. The Mist is like one of the best like horror movies of the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. What a great movie. Might be my favorite Thomas Jane movie, mm-hmm. actually. So anyway, apparently a little more detail is coming out about the movie, and it follows the story of, like, one soldier, I guess, who is inevitably, like, fighting Godzilla or monsters in some capacity, like, but as part of an army. He's not like, you know, one man fights Godzilla.
They're actually doing a comic about that right now.
Yeah.
Godzilla Half-Century War. It's basically, like, this Japanese guy who was in... Like, when Godzilla first appeared in the 50s, and then basically he joins this, like, mm-hmm. unit, and then is like, it's, every issue is, like, a different, like, it's, like, 1957, then, like, next issue is, like, 1967, like, then it's, like, I think the last issue was, like, 87. And it's just him.
Yeah.
It's just him, like, trying to track down Godzilla, and they're trying to figure out how to stop him, and they just realize they can't, so they're just, like, trying to contain everything.
So they're not gonna, like,
Godzilla shows up.
Wait, so it's not gonna be, like, Godzilla, Matthew Broderick, or like surfing the seas like they did in that goddamn cartoon show.
Oh my god.
Hopefully not.
With their stupid robot.
Yep.
Their stupid Herbie robot, whatever the hell it is.
And that random black guy they're just friends with.
He's my best friend that you never saw.
Where's Godzuki, damn it? But yeah, so they're saying that it's gonna be two new monsters. Like two totally original creatures, which is, you know, I guess, but apparently it doesn't rule out the fact that, like, some of the old Toho monsters may or may not show up. So basically the one thing to take away from that isn't to be disappointed that, like, they're not explicitly saying, like, oh, Mothra or, like, Gaidon or, like, you know, someone awesome like that will be showing up. Gamera. Don't be disappointed about that. Yeah, Gamera would be fucking great.
Rodan fan.
Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, okay, so the thing to take away isn't, like, who they're not including, but the fact that they're including multiple monsters. And, like, it's basically going to be an all-out freaky, like, monster fight with Godzilla.
He should fight, like, Cloverfield and do exactly what he did to, like...
Oh, my God.
1998 Godzilla.
Godzilla, yeah, oh, my God, that would be outstanding. I would cry a tear of joy if he just fucking, like...
Vaporizes.
Beamed, just fucking, like, baned Cloverfield, picks it up, and, like... breaks its spine over his knee. It's like, I'm Godzilla, bitch. Tell your friends. And I would absolutely love it. I just want to say this now. Put it out into the universe. Hopefully it happens. Would it kill? Would it really kill the animators to just give us, like, as a little Easter egg, maybe just, like, 30 seconds of Godzilla vs. Cthulhu, please? We all want it.
What about Godzilla vs. Charles Barkley?
That would be kind of cool.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, when did that happen?
It was a commercial, and then they made a comic book on it.
What?
Like a full, like, issue comic of, like, Godzilla versus Charles Barkley, which I own.
Yeah, there were some crazy, crazy times.
Like, I shared it on my Tumblr, like, a long time ago, like, a couple months ago, but, like, someone shared this one panel from where it's like, and Godzilla got busy. He's like, Godzilla wearing Nikes, dunking in basketball.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that doesn't come back. Like, I really hope that doesn't come back.
Let's hope Matthew Broderick is in this movie.
Godzilla vs. Shaq.
In some capacity. Shaqzilla?
Yeah.
Maybe they merge, like, oh Goten God, and yes. Trunks and become Shaqzilla.
Must form Shaqzilla.
Yeah. Or maybe some sort of cross-promotional thing with a... Or a little nod to, like, Pacific Rim.
Gypsy Danger.
That'd be kind of cool, too. Yeah. Godzilla's, like, fucking, like, flossing with one of those Gypsy Danger robots. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck is this shit? Do they know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm the king of the fucking kaijus. Yeah. But, yeah, that one, like, screenshot that leaked or whatever from the test footage... or the teaser footage that they showed at Comic-Con,
mm-hmm.
was pretty awesome. I mean, it's just, like, one person. It looks like a shot from, like, a Twilight Zone sort of scenario, where it's just, like, one person standing in the middle of, like, absolute destruction.
There was time, like, now!
Yeah, exactly. Like, buildings still on fire, stuff like that. Just, like, buildings totally smashed in, like they've been stepped on. You know, just fucking really cool, man. And the outline of Godzilla, like, he kind of looks like, I don't know, at least from the shadow, like, I don't know that a giant lizard can be jacked. But he looked pretty, like...
He's been doing P90X.
I guess so, man. He's been doing shrugs. I don't know. Been doing those deep squats.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully I think it's safe to say we're all very excited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully get some sort of trailer in, like, next, like, spring or summer. Like, a just teaser trailer or something.
I would be head over heels, like, in love with the idea of them doing a teaser trailer during the Super Bowl. Because the fact is, you fucking have the teaser done already. Mm. Like, all you gotta do is make it look a little prettier. That would be pretty awesome, but it probably won't happen. Probably have to wait for a Pacific Rim job, Pacific Rim,
yeah,
to see that.
Whatever the first, like, big, like, Warner Brothers or Legendary movie is going to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have two opportunities. You have Pacific Rim and you have Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, like,
I would say win-win. Man of Steel, probably.
Yeah, but also, but the only thing is, like, obviously, that's a much bigger movie, but Pacific Rim, I believe, is coming out first.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you already have the giant monster and giant, like, mech market sort of cornered there. So that would make sense. And you could show the same teaser twice. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a huge deal. Because, like, you know people are going to go see the Man of Steel. Like, it's not like you have to put, like, it's not like putting the fucking, like, Dark Knight teaser or whatever in front of, or I'm sorry, the Batman Begins teaser in front of, like, iRobot.
Yeah.
You know? Like, fuck, people might not see this movie. What do we do? Let's put the new Batman preview in front of it. Oh, okay.
Marketing genius.
It's like,
yeah, it's like, give this guy a medal.
It's like whatever movie had, like, the episode one teaser trailer. I don't remember.
Oh, my part. God.
Like, Corky Romano.
Yeah, was it Corky Romano? It was some, like, awful goddamn movie.
It was some
movie
that people, like, went to, it, watched the trailer and left.
Yes! Finally!
It's gonna be the greatest movie ever!
Yes! It all begins again.
I remember getting really upset when I saw Phantom Menace trailer. I don't know why. I was just like, why?
I was maybe like during Phantom Menace, Chris. Just being like, hey.
No. I remember seeing the trailer going, why would they do this?
Because Star Wars.
Because money, that's why.
Yeah. So,
dude, sorry to interrupt, but it was in front of, The Siege and A Bug's Life.
Nice.
I think I saw A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
But I don't know why the hell The Siege, like.
The Denzel Washington.
And Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah.
All right, anyway, so last bit of news for this week, unless there's anything else you guys can think of. Apparently Guillermo del Toro, after Pacific Rim and whatever else he's doing, they're trying to move ahead with a DC movie called Dark Universe, which would feature like teaming up of like Swamp Thing and Constantine and a bunch of other like sort of like weird DC characters.
Well, Constantine and Swamp Thing are
on.
Constantine and Swamp Thing are like the top tier of that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And I wouldn't mind another Swamp Thing movie.
It's actually in the comics right now they're doing it's like a huge like crossover. It's Swamp
Monster
Thing
Mash.
Swamp Thing and Animal Man.
Yep.
It's a Rot World where basically like Arcane, like the big Swamp Thing villain, basically took over the entire world and
Swamp Thing's Lex Luthor.
Yes. And basically, like, he controls the rot, so he made every person on Earth just, like, a rot thing now. Even, like, the superheroes, like, Superman's a rot creature.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Batman turned like a bat, like a giant bat creature, rotting bat.
I feel like this world they created is very messy.
And then, so Swamp Thing and Animal Man, and they also team up with, like, Frankenstein, the DC character, who's, like, a secret agent.
Yeah, let's not dwell on that.
The new, like, it's Frankenstein Agent of Shade or whatever is awesome. It's like it.
Oh, that's cool.
It was like, it was Frankenstein and then they had, like, the creature commandos. It was like, there's like a werewolf and a bat, like a mummy and a, like a bat guy. And they went around just fighting monsters. So it's basically everyone who didn't get turned into, like, rotting corpses is like trying to stop Arcane from taking over the world or like return the world back to how it was.
I mean, it's cool that they actually gave Arcane some sort of useful villainy thing besides terrorizing Louisiana swamps.
Mm-hmm. With his unmen.
Ugh.
Like the one episode of the cartoon.
Was it only one episode? I thought it was like two.
I think it was like one. Cause the only one I've ever seen is like it came with like the action figure.
And the VHS.
Yeah, Here Comes the Unmen or whatever. It had the horrible, horrible theme song that was like Wild Thing, but they made Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing. I have the toys still. I think there was more toys than there was like anything else.
He had like a Native American friend that had like a crazy truck and then a bunch of other like allies. They're squirting water at things. But actually, in the Rot World thing they're doing right now, like, Constantine is, like, teamed up with Animal Man right now, and they're, like, running around.
Wait, Do you guys remember, like, Swamp Thing's, like, black sidekick dude who had, like, the flat top? Was his name, like, Monterey Jack or something weird like that?
From the cartoon? Like, the first cartoon?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have the action figure of him.
I think so, yeah.
And, like, that weird dude in the gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, the blue skin and the orange jumpsuit, man. Those are some badass action figures. You guys just, like, blew my mind wide open having that rush back in to my... to my memory. That's awesome. But yeah. I'd love to see Guillermo's Swamp Thing, man. That sounds
and
fucking awesome.
I would love to see another Constantine, even though, like, a real good Constantine. Like, I don't mind the Keanu Reeves one, but...
It could be, like, weird supernatural Avengers.
Or it could be just, like, the Brothers Grimm, or Hansel and Gretel, whatever. It's, like, the same goddamn movie anyway.
Throw Solomon Grundy in the mix.
I forget.
That's what I would say.
I forget who they had a list of, like, characters that Guillermo wanted to put in it. It was Swamp Thing, and then Constantine, and then let me see if I can find the other one.
I mean, that's a pretty damn good start, though.
That is a pretty awesome start.
I would say, at least. I mean, just listen, man. Just GDT's Swamp Thing alone, like that has me excited. You know, that's a pretty awesome prospect. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Especially with, like, based on, like, crazy Alan Moore era Swamp Thing.
Yes.
But, like, well, it's, I mean, yes. It's still going on in the new one, but, like, the Parliament of the Green and, like, the green energy. And there's only, like, a million Swamp Things before Alec and everything.
Which, yeah. I didn't mind the lore. The lore of Swamp Thing was really interesting, which, like, I never knew until, like, I actually had Wikipedia, you know?
Oh, yeah, so it's, mm-hmm. So it's Swamp Thing.
Zatanna.
Yeah, Zatanna. The demon. Etrigan the demon.
Nice.
And Dead Man.
He's dead.
Yeah.
A lot.
Man.
Oh. Were they going to find people and possess them?
Maybe.
Well, I remember
that's like his main power, that he can, like, go on people and possess them.
Wait, wasn't... I'm trying to think. What's the difference in the Dead Man and that Watcher Dead Man that's, like, from the DC comic cartoon?
Yeah.
That was Deadman, right?
Deadman's, like, bald, so. And he has, like, a red suit.
Yeah.
Okay, wrong guy.
He's, like, a weird Emotep Doctor Strange-type model. It's kind of weird.
Because
mm-hmm. I was thinking of that cartoon short with, like, the detective guy that is also, like, a weird ghost guy.
The Gray Ghost?
Oh, no. Spectre? Spectre?
The Spectre.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I confuse that guy.
Who'd be like,
oops.
Who, like, he, like, killed that guy in the special effects factory or whatever that he went through?
Yep.
Yeah, it was on the DC, like, the Superman versus Shazam or short collection. With, like, the 10-minute Jonah Hex cartoon that was, like, better than the entire movie.
Hey, yeah. Hey. Come on now.
Oh, you see the Jonah Hex movie again. It's going to call Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Ho!
Ooh.
Easy, Kemosabe.
All right, so any other news you guys can think of that we need to talk about before we move into New Orleans Roundup?
Nah, I think we're good.
Okay.
I think we need to talk about The Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia.
Yeah, Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia.
Like, is that going to be a stage play, or is that going to be a real movie?
They're also making Last Exorcism 2.
Do the player.
Last Exorcism 2?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You know,
no.
I really hate when they don't know the word last means.
The penultimate exorcism.
Or final.
Oh, boy.
Found yeah, food. The final whatever has been just dropped in the ground, so...
The found footage generator just makes a ton of money for no money.
God damn it. I really wish it wasn't, like, such a lucrative scheme.
We can spend maybe $1 million in this movie and we'll make, like, 20 million.
A lot of horny teens will see it.
Especially if you make it PG-13.
Yeah. Be their first scary movie. How terrible is that? Like, I remember my first scary movie, it was not, like, a found footage movie where, like, an hour of plot buildup. It was, like, a monster pops up. It eats a person. Like, that's my scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid. I can't even, like, think back and say, like, yeah, my scary movie was, like, Paranormal Activity 2, where, like, nothing happens, and then dies at the end.
I could pinpoint my first, like, real horror movie like going to see an actual scary movie in a movie theater. That was The Haunting, Liam Neeson.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
I think I can beat that. Mine was Critters 2.
Chris, you were like 4 when that came out.
Who I had bad parents.
Your parents definitely just like left you in the theater. They're like, "We'll be back when it's over." Like, what?
they look harmless. They're like little furry things.
There's tits in it. It was great.
Hell yeah.
All right, so why don't we move into the newest roundup for the week? And our pick of the week is Dread.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Arguably the most badass movie last year. At least definitely one of them. Top three.
Fuck yeah.
If you have like no one saw it, but if you get a chance right now to watch it on DVD or Blu-ray, rent it because it is amazing.
Yeah, please. Can we support this movie?
Yeah.
Like,
make it like a cult classic.
Seriously.
Because it bombed horribly.
It really did, but that's because nobody knew what the fuck it was. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Or there's like...
The marketing of it was really cut
off. I saw a Stallone movie, and that sucks, but I'm not going to see this one.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
It's a remake of the Stallone movie?
Jesus.
Bro, Sly's not in it. I'm not seeing it.
Rob Schneider's not in it. I'm not in it.
Fuck that. He's too busy playing The Stapler.
Mama's not the law. I'm the law.
Oh my god. I want that to be my fucking ringtone.
I'm the law.
Beautiful.
High X.
And he was the law in that goddamn movie. There's no denying that. Mm-hmm.
Many, many people fell to his law.
Yes. Lots of lives were destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Very, very close second for Pick of the Week is Archer, Season 3.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Season 4 is out in, is it next week?
I believe so. Oh, yep. Yeah. Like, I think the
15th
or the 17th?
Yep.
Yeah, 17th. Hell yeah.
Should be awesome as usual.
I've got my DVR set. By the way, the book, How to Archer...
Mm-hmm.
Written by Sterling Mallory Archer, a.k.a. the Duchess,
is
possibly one of the best things I've ever read in my entire life. Highly recommend it to you guys. Highly recommend it to anyone who's listening who's a fan of Archer. It's fucking hysterical. And you could read it in, like, 2 hours. So definitely check it out.
And you hear it in his voice the entire time.
It's impossible to not hear it, like, being read by each John Benjamin. Mm-hmm. But, oh god, it's just great. It's just great because like the whole time, like one of the running jokes is that he's always like ripping on James Bond, calling him like he who must not be named.
Yep.
And like at a certain point, he's like, yeah, because who the fuck gets a vodka martini? That's a girl's drink. You drink it with gin, like a man. Like you drink it and you get that awful flavor. That's the point. You're not supposed to like it.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's always just, like, belittling Woodhouse, even though it's, like, a book, and he's clearly not even there.
Yep.
It's great. I think he's got a recipe for, like, a $6,000 omelet that he has Woodhouse make him. Like, it's pretty great. It's like, what makes it $6,000? At the end, you add, like, all these gold shavings to it. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. There were so many good episodes last season.
The whole season was brilliant.
Burt Reynolds episode.
Just with Burt Reynolds, man? Come on. That was great.
Like 5 minutes of like Archer describing what Geeter 3 would be.
Yeah.
And then like the one on the runaway train in Canada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like them going into space.
Mm-hmm. That was possibly one of the funniest episodes ever of Archer.
Just because it like you had Bryan Cranston saying Danger Zone.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Yeah.
So also this week we have Frank and Weenie.
Yeah. That came out.
Yeah. I think we need to see, I think, well, I'm definitely going to see it just so I can get my, compare, like, which one better, that or Paranorman, which I think Paranorman probably seems way better.
I think so. Just
Kid Constantine.
Doesn't seem as desperate right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know what's really sad is when you see the commercials for the DVD of Frankenweenie, they use the Nightmare Before Christmas music.
Like,
you guys notice that?
This is Halloween?
No, the, like,
like
opening music.
Doo-doo.
Like, the chase music.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yes. They actually use that.
Well, because it's
really sad.
It probably isn't that song. It's probably just Danny Elfman doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Still, it's like, they couldn't come up with its own soundtrack?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I probably checked it out at some point because I heard it's actually pretty good. We also have the first season of Dallas, the new Dallas on TNT that is basically like picks up whatever how many years it's been since the original Dallas.
Like 20 years.
Yeah.
Cool.
We have House at the End of the Street, the weird like Jennifer Lawrence filmed this like 5 years ago and now it's coming out this year.
You mean the boobs at the end of the street?
Mm-hmm. Hunger Games. Unrated cut too. I'll see it.
Like no plot cut movie. Like I think I read a summary with like in two sentences about the whole movie.
Yeah,
which
did you read
like,
the twist?
It's all in their head or something?
No, it's not. It's
I didn't see the twist.
It's really stupid.
I'll talk about it later.
I'm kind of confused about this next one because I thought it's been in Redbox for like weeks, but apparently Stolen is just coming out this week.
Yep.
The Nicolas Cage.
I can't wait to see that.
My daughter's a taxi. Yeah, it's worth checking out just to see how insane Jess Lucas is as like this, like a mix between Vince Neil from Motley Crue and like a pirate.
I thought it was the same. Do you remember? What Hit and Run with Bradley Cooper?
Yes.
It's like the same character.
Imagine him with that with like an artificial leg, and just like ranting in the entire movie for no reason. I mean, it was better than most Nicolas Cage movies, but it's not a good movie.
Is it better than Seeking Justice?
Oh, a million times better than Seeking Justice.
Wow. Nothing is a million times better than Seeking Justice. That's one of his finest works.
I gotta figure out why I had to kill that guy. Who beat my wife?
That's pretty much what happened.
The brown bunny runs. Brown rabbit jumps.
Whatever that rabbit thing where it's like it was like they're like, oh, this might be the original title to it. Like that's retarded.
It was the original title to it. Actually,
right. But
I was gonna say, speaking of Josh Lucas and looking like Bradley Cooper, Hit and Run's out this week.
Yay!
Watch them both. You could have two weirdly dreadlocked white guys as villains.
Huzzah.
And then we also have Driving Miss Daisy on Blu-ray.
Oh, glorious.
We have,
I can't wait.
We have Not Zero Dark Thirty, a.k.a. Still Team 6.
I thought that was on Netflix already.
I think it probably is. It's got, like, that dude from Twilight and, like, the dude from Hell on Wheels and then Exhibit.
X to the Z. Yo, dude.
The most
elite. Heard you like the army.
Heard you like a son. You're like a Osama bin Laden, so we put Osama bin Laden in your Osama bin Laden movie.
Hey, yo, dog. We heard you like Batman, so we killed your parents.
We have, I think it's season 3 or volume 3 or whatever of Tiny Toon Adventures.
Oh, wow.
Wait, so seasons 1 and 2 like came out, and season 3 just came out.
Doing, like,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're doing like volumes. Weird, like, so I don't know where it's breaking up or what it's doing, but
Netflix. Come on, Amazon Instant Video.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, please.
And then we also have on a Blu-ray triple feature of The Goonies,
Ooh.
Gremlins, and Gremlins 2.
Wow. And how much is that?
It is $17.32.
Okay, we can wait. But that's pretty priceless, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's a damn fine triple feature right there. Except maybe for Gremlins 2.
I still wish I had gotten that, like, the crazy Goonies Blu-ray when it first came out. Of, like, you get a board game. You get a replica magazine.
Yeah, that was really, like, borderline creepy in how, and how much stuff
you got.
How
insanely feature-packed it was.
Intricate it was. Yeah, man.
The box turned into a board game.
Oh.
And the disc turns into, like, a necklace you can wear as, like, a One-Eye Willy thing.
Yeah.
We also have, coming to the Criterion Collection, Two-Lane Blacktop, which is a classic, like, drag racing 50s movie.
Okay. Of course.
And
the Criterion Collection weirds me out sometimes.
We have the,
'cause it's like, hey, that's an awesome movie, and then there's like 20, like, what? I've never even heard of that. Like, this is an art house movie, you've probably never heard of it. Like, oh, okay. You didn't have to be so mean.
We also have the original Cape Fear coming out on Blu-ray this week.
Ooh.
Season 1 of Anger Management, the Charlie Sheen FX show.
That had a whole season?
And it's coming back, too.
Yeah,
like this they signed a deal.
There's going to be 90 episodes of it.
What?
90 more episodes.
That's like, in today's standards, that's like 4 years worth of episodes.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Huh?
So that show's never getting canceled anytime soon.
What the fuck were they thinking?
Mm-hmm. Like, does anyone even watch that show?
No, I tried to watch the first two episodes, and I couldn't get through the first episode because it was horrible. I'm sorry. That's just me. But
I think
it was just not funny.
Does it come on after Louie or before Louie?
I couldn't tell you because I avoid the fuck out of
it. Yeah, because if it's like after Louie, then that's probably why it's sticking around.
Maybe. But hey, you know what, actually, speaking of FX shows, what actually looks really good? Legit, the Jim Jeffries show, that looks goddamn hysterical. So hopefully
isn't it next week too? Like their whole new, our new comedy block,
so.
Archer and Anger Management,
yes.
And Legit and Wilfred.
I believe so.
That,
I'm definitely excited.
What about other weird shows like Legit. Brand X or?
Oh fuck! That I hope that never.
The other
comes back.
What's the other show like? With the black guy?
Like the Kama Mustafa files or something?
Yeah.
Like artsy black white guy?
Yeah.
Like, I forget what it's called. It's like Black Guy in Bow Tie makes comical observations about society.
Mm-hmm. Produced by Chris Rock.
So you know it's edgy. Shaka Luther King.
Alright, so last couple things coming out this week. We have on Blu-ray, The Jazz Singer, which is the original one, which is the first movie to have sound.
Oh, God. Doesn't that have, like, what's-his-face and blackface?
Are you thinking of the Neil Diamond one? Chris, because there was this one, which is the original one, and then there's Neil Diamond one, which is a remake of it.
Oh, God. I just remember, like, it's famous because it has, like, comical use of blackface everywhere.
Yeah, that was the Neil Diamond one.
Okay.
Yeah. This one was, like, It's silent, and then, like, the last song, you can actually hear the song for the first time.
Oh, the guy goes, you hear nothing, you haven't heard anything yet, or something?
Yeah, or something. And then, last but not least, VR Troopers, Season 1, Volume 2 is out this week.
Trooper not, Transform!
Not the complete set, just the volume of this one.
The second half of Trooper Season 1. We are VR.
4, 3, 2, 1.
We'll never be in the same screen together because we're all
no.
Different shows.
It's true.
All right, so that's it for new releases. Why don't we get right to show and tell? I think we have a ton of stuff to talk about because we've had a show every week for you guys, but we haven't been on in a couple weeks for Christmas break and everything. So. What did everyone see over Christmas break? I know, Chris, I think me and you could talk about Jack Reacher.
Okay, yeah. Let's start off.
Kick off with Jack Reacher.
Okay. To sum this movie up, Tom Cruise knows the whole plot.
Tom Cruise knows everything, the movie?
Yes. It is literally, he read the plot. Like, he had the play-by-play of what the movie's gonna, like, well, what's gonna happen.
It's like, you know the saying, like, Jack of all trades, master of none? Like, Tom Cruise is, like, Jack of all trades, master of all trades.
Masters all things, like, at any given situation.
Yeah.
If they need, like, a chef, he would walk on the set and just be the chef for, like, the thing, and then the next scene would happen.
Yeah, be like, where'd you learn to cook? In the army.
In the army. They teach me in police military training.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
We have to hack into this computer. Wait, let me it'll be like, shh. All right, we're hacked in.
You didn't even know the password. I didn't have to. I bypassed it with my brain.
Mm-hmm. I charmed it to death.
they need a scene of like where like a pregnant woman is going to labor in her car and he just like pulls up and delivers the baby.
And like that, and then like football like spikes it.
That's okay, like it seemed. That's how good of a character he was. Where it's like you would never have this guy like. It'd be awesome to have him as a friend, but you just know, like, whatever he's doing, it's just like, fuck, like, I just give up on the subject. Because, people are just, like, are surprisingly, like, afraid of him and aroused by him at the same time. You notice that?
He's the best fighter, he's the best driver, he's the best cop, he's the best, like...
investigator, like, he's, he saw, like, so many evidence things that just, like, oh, the other guys didn't look into. It's just, like...
He's the best sniper.
It's like, wait, they were so, and he's like the best, he's also like a pretty good, like, restaurant guy. Like, did you see, like, how, when he orders food and stuff, like the one scene that really got me, that was really hilarious was, like, how every other female character wants to bone him.
Oh, yeah, like, every other, like, woman who, like, looks at him is like, oh, yeah.
I'm like, give me some of that 50-year-old Tom Cruise body. And that's the thing, it's like, I think he had a hand in that. Like, it's like Tom Cruise definitely wrote like scenes, and they're really into
it. It was a Tom Cruise production.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why I kind of laughed in theaters, like especially like the when he's ordering dinner at that like weird bar dance club.
Yeah.
And the waitress that's picking up his plates, like giving him the "I want to fuck you" eyes.
Yep.
Oh my god, like, that's what I was like.
As he's like maneuvering through the bar, like five other women give him the same eyes.
You notice that? See what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just like, what? I heard, like, a lot of people got pissed because people were really like, this is not the Jack Reacher that, like, the world
is like,
thinking.
Like, I think Dolph Lundgren, in the Jack Reacher book, he's like more like Dolph Lundgren. It was like 6 foot something, like, crazy, like, blonde hair, jacked.
Yeah. And in this movie, it just seems like, well, he seems like he has a good diet. Like, that's just the only thing I can give Jack Reacher is a compliment.
Yeah.
His diet must be really good. But then, like, he eats shit food. And, like, I actually did Wikipedia, like, Jack Reacher's, like, the character. He's supposed to be just, like, the average Joe guy that just, like, is lucky a lot. You know?
Except for the fact that he's supposed to be, like, 6'5", 250 pounds, and, like, able to kill a lion with his fucking, like,
yeah.
Right, right. But
and
I'm just,
like... He's, like, the world's greatest MP.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so when I saw this, and I was just, like... I kind of, like, want the villain to be Jack Reacher, not Tom Cruise. Like, the main sniper, like, the main villain from the beginning.
Oh, John McClane Jr.?
I actually knew where the guy was from. He's actually the guy in Spartacus.
Yeah, he's the first season of Spartacus. Like, Spartacus' best friend.
Yeah, I did not know that. I was like, holy shit, he looks different without, like, weird curls.
Curly blonde hair.
I didn't know that he was also John McClane's son. I was like, what? I thought his role was really good, like, his villainous roles,
mm-hmm.
But then, like, I thought he'd be, like, this more badass character, but then he just became, like, a henchman, like, a generic henchman by the end of the movie.
Yeah, to, Werner Herzog.
I was, the villain in this movie was so, like, a letdown. I thought the prisoner would actually be, like, more special.
I had to chew my own fingers off.
I am generically Eastern European.
I was
everyone's afraid of me.
I had to chew my fingers off before the rats ate me.
I think because he had, like, frostbite. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And then he's like, why is everyone so afraid of him? I have no idea why. This is, like, exhibit.
See, makes you, like, chew your fingers off.
Yeah, he asks you, and then his henchmen are there. It's not just him. Like, I understand if he took off, like, his jacket or something, and, like,
yeah, he's not like a fighter, he's not like a fight you or anything.
Right, and that's why he's just
intimidating.
He can give a really creepy, like, speech about trying to kill you, but if push comes to shove,
his dead eye.
Yeah, it just looks
at you with his dead eye.
I don't know. I just felt like that was such a weird, like, this is the villain. This is how you introduce this character of a franchise. Because I don't think they're ever going to make a Jack Reacher 2.
Probably. It did okay. It didn't make, it wasn't, like, huge.
Hmm.
It wasn't a bad movie, though. Like, it was fun. It had a bunch of fun stuff. Like,
it was like a weird Mission Impossible movie, almost.
I loved, like, there was, like, one fight scene where, like, he's investigating one guy's house, and two guys come in with, like, baseball bats, and they beat the shit out of each other because the room's so small. They're trying to smash, like, Jack Reacher in the bathtub, and they keep smashing the wall, and then, like, Jack, like, he beats them, like, knocks the one guy out, and then uses the other guy's head to, like, smash the other guy into the floor.
You know what? That's the kind of things I like about Tom Cruise's movies, like Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol and Mission Impossible 3.
Mm-hmm.
They all have that weird physical humor that, like, Tom Cruise is really, like, good at delivering in these kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I rather see Mission Impossible: Ethan Hunt movie, because at least that character's established.
Yeah. You know?
This is, like, the first time I've ever seen a Jack Reacher anything. And then it's like, I had to go back and look up online to see, holy shit, this has been like a decade-long series of books that this is when they finally reveal, like, to the general public what a Jack Reacher is.
Mm-hmm.
And they comically, and like they, and their poster is a comically short Photoshop Tom Cruise.
Oh my god, his head! I can't stop looking at his head! It's so,
Joe had a
it's
theory.
So, it's so, in, like, misproportioned to the rest of his body.
Joe had a theory that when they were making Jack Reacher, they originally had someone as a stand-in. And then, like, well, whenever we have, like, our lead actor, we'll, like, Photoshop who it would be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a template. And as soon as Tom Cruise signed on, they're like, oh, okay, like, let's just try to do it real fast.
Does that head look a little big to you? No, no, we'll shrink it. We'll shrink it in post.
And they just never did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, Jack Reacher's not a terrible movie. It's just, like, it's not as action-packed as the trailer said it would be. Where it's like, oh, beware, he's coming.
Yeah, it's more like a thriller, like, crime. Like, it's like a Law and Order thing, or, like,
it's a procedural,
yeah.
Very cruel by the midpoint, where it's like, oh.
Even though you know who done it in, like, the first 2 seconds
of
the movie.
That's what I mean. Like, you know who did it. You just gotta watch for Jack Reacher to figure out how he did it. And then it's, like,
then
the law system.
Yeah, the overall... Why did he do it?
Yeah. Reason why they did it is kind of stupid,
yeah.
Too. Like, really? But then you're like, okay, well, it's cool that Jack Reacher really doesn't report to anyone. That they should press more. Like he doesn't listen to the real police.
He doesn't. He's a ghost, man. He doesn't.
He's a ghost, man. And
he has
the fact
no,
that, like,
he has no clothes. He has no IDs. He has no record.
But, like,
he just shows up on the bus.
I do like the ending, though. Where, like, at least where he gets up at the end, I didn't like the fact that the coma guy was, like, telling about people about Jack Reacher. Because, like, the one they used in the trailer, it's like, Jack Reacher's coming.
Yeah.
He's gonna fuck me up. No one can stop him. Like, I get that. Mm. They make him seem like this Superman character. I don't know. I kind of feel like this is this weird family version of the Punisher. You know, it's, like, all his rules,
Punisher's not really solving crimes, though. He's just, like, killing people. He's not, like, investigating things.
Amen.
Right, well, with this, Jack Reacher kind of does all up until that point. Like, he's investigating, and he's like, well, you're gonna get away with this if, like, we throw you in the regular law system, so I'm gonna kill you anyway.
Yep.
So I thought that was cool. But they never, like, show that ever again.
And he's like, you'll figure it out. You'll figure the legal stuff out. Bye.
I just, like, what's, they're in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, somewhere, yeah.
Somewhere in Pittsburgh. It's just, like, so, he destroyed a lot of cop cars, or, like, he, he still pissed off a lot of cops mm-hmm. by doing what he did, and just like, and no repercussions?
Mm-hmm. I'd say maybe check it out on like DVD when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely like, it's fun to rent. It's a good rental, mm-hmm. I would say. It's definitely not a movie you want to watch like twice, because you're just kind of like, well,
I know what happened. Yeah. And then I think both you guys saw Django Unchained, right?
Yep.
Which I haven't, mm-hmm. I haven't seen yet, but I'm hopefully going to see it before our next podcast.
Well, it's pretty much everything you're going to be expecting.
Long sequences of dialogue.
Long sequences of dialogue, as well as gratuitous violence and practical effects blood, which is really nice to see. Refreshing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no digital effect. Just a lot of...
Yeah, man, just a lot of fucking old school 70s, like, shoot-em-up kind of blood, which just what the doctor ordered.
Is it bright red?
Oh, yeah, it's like paint.
Okay, that yeah, go ahead.
It's like 70s blood.
Yes.
It's like a Dario Argentino blood, like Suspiria style.
Yes.
It's pretty great. I mean, I was a big fan of you guys know that I'm a sucker for practical effects, so
mm-hmm.
seeing this many bullets and this many like gunshot wounds, it's good stuff. Good stuff indeed.
That's it for Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Well, Django Unchained. If you haven't seen any of the 17 other versions out there, that's right, 17 versions of this damn movie that came out in 1966. It's pretty good. Like, I wouldn't say it's like Quentin Tarantino's masterpiece, because that's like subjective to who's a big fan of which film. But this movie it feels grand. Like, the story has, like, four arcs to it. I actually felt like it could end at any point, and it just kept on going. So I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I remember, like, almost getting ready to leave, and I was like, oh, shit, there's still, like, a half another movie left.
Yeah, it was very long.
You definitely have to pick the right time to see this movie. We went with, like, a really older, stuffier crowd that, like, I guess they never looked into, like, what a Quentin Tarantino movie was, or, like, what era this would take place in.
Or they want to see, like, oh, look, it's a Western, honey, isn't that quaint?
Pretty much. They probably saw, like, Christopher Waltz and was like, oh, look, he's a gentleman cowboy, and he has a black manservant. And then it's just like, nope.
And that wonderful Leonardo DiCaprio's in it.
Ah, I loved him in
Titanic.
Titanic. We should see this movie. But as soon as, like, when me and Joe saw this, like, as soon as the first, like, nigger was shout out, like, just the phrase, just people started gasping. And I was like, what?
What?
Like, there was a woman three rows behind me gasping so loud, I thought she was gasping, like, at me.
Like having a stroke or something.
And, it's a pretty good, again, like, it's uncomfortable at times. With the tension, it's like watching Glorious Bastards for the first time, not knowing what's gonna happen in each scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's brilliant in that sense, where it's like, certain movies, I can kind of predict what's going on, or kind of, like, anticipate things. But Quentin Tarantino movies are like, you're gonna anticipate, like, it's gonna happen, but you're still gonna be shocked about it.
And in a way, that makes it dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, you could just kind of feel people being tense and on edge and not really know what was happening next. You know, like, or not knowing what to expect next. And, that's a special thing when you can do that. You know, because, like, a lot of it might have been, like, you know, suburban, like, white guilt or whatever. Just being like, oh my god, if they say nigger one more time, like, I might shit in my pants. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I might have to get up and apologize, but, like, that's the whole point. You know? Like, if you're making a movie about a fucking, like, freed slave, or really, you know, liberated slave or whatever.
In, like, the South during the
1800s. In the South, in the 1800s, they're gonna drop some N-bombs. Like, that's just the fucking fact of the matter. And there's nothing racist about a movie portraying things as they were. There's just not. So I don't understand how people are like, there's some bullshit, like, news reports now online saying that people are, like, outraged at the fact that there are collectible Django Unchained, like, action figures or whatever that were made for this movie. And it's like, you know what? If you don't like them, don't fucking buy them. You know? If you're uncomfortable
with, like...
It's
like you're buying slaves.
Yeah, oh, my slavery is not something you play with. Okay. Whatever you say. Like, you're entitled to have your opinion, but you're still fucking wrong. You know? Like, I don't know. I don't want to meet the person who buys the Django action figure and, like, goes out in his yard, plays with the dirt, and is like, work, darky! You know? Like, no one's buying it to have a slave action figure. They're buying it because it's like, hey, I supported this movie because I enjoyed it. And
Samuel
I would like
Jackson.
To own this piece of memorabilia. Yeah, man, come on. You know, and like, the movie is significant in that sense, in that it's a buzzword, like it gets everybody talking, and there's a lot of violence, and Sandy Hook, oh, I don't know if we should release this movie because there are guns in it. The point is, it's a fucking awesome movie. It's a little bit long, it drags in some places, but when it's good, it's really fucking good. My only complaint about it is that there's just like a gratuitous insertion of not racial epitaphs, nor of Jamie Foxx dong, nor of, you know, gratuitous violence, but just a really uncalled for insertion of Quentin Tarantino into his own movie.
He's in it for like a minute.
And it's a minute too long. It took me completely out of the movie. I think Quentin Tarantino looks kind of like a Chucky doll and like a fat toddler. And listen, I love Quentin Tarantino. I'm not trying to like hate on the guy. I would never do that because I think he's a genius. But what I am saying is that it's just like he's very recognizable, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just took me out of the movie. I don't know. It's a bitchy thing that I'm doing. Just like finding one thing to chop it down. But by that same token, it genuinely kind of took me out. And I was like, oh, that's the director. He's in his own movie. He's an actor, too.
If it was a Robert Rodriguez movie, it'd probably be acceptable.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I just feel like someone who's maybe not as like...
Work for...
I feel like the...
Work for From Dusk to Dawn.
Yeah, okay, that's true. But he also looked a lot different back then. You know? But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just finding things to bitch about.
Or like,
but I feel like the only douchier move would have been like James Cameron inserting himself into Avatar.
As like the king of Avatars.
Yeah, behold my kingdom. Look upon what I have built.
He's our god.
Yeah.
It's just like... They have, like, a statue of, like, James Cameron in, like, the Avatar Village. He's the creator.
Leader. He gave us the trees.
Yeah.
One day, he will return in fulfillment of the prophecies.
Joe, it sounds like you, like, fell into, like, a bag of chips. What is...
No, I'm trying to open up a package. I apologize. I can mute my microphone, if you'd like.
So,
Zach, what did you see?
Also, did you guys see anything else besides those? Like, Jack?
I really didn't. I watched, like...
Even with, like, 3 weeks off?
With 3 weeks off, I've been... They added It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia to Netflix, so I've been watching it from the beginning, and it's, like, my new favorite show.
Oh, wait.
I know I'm, like, 10 years behind.
I know, Joe, you saw the season premiere of True Justice, which I haven't...
I saw the season premiere of True Justice with Chris.
Yep.
And I also saw the season premiere of Justified,
yes.
Which was bananas.
It was awesome. Patton.
It was fucking great.
Patton Oswalt.
Constable Oswalt.
Pull on me. Step.
Yeah, that was an... It's definitely looking very good, this season.
The mystery of the parachutist.
Yes, I like that it's like a mystery. It's like a cold case sort of thing.
Yeah.
And not necessarily like, oh, this is the new bad guy. Guess we're going to figure out how we have to deal with him.
Yeah, the bad guy's Boyd.
Yeah, which is fine, because I fucking love Boyd.
And maybe...
ass-kicking character.
Hopefully Limehouse will show back up at some point this season.
Yes, that would be good, too.
You could chop someone else's arm off and barbecue it.
Oh, yeah. As for True Justice, I mean, if you want to talk about that
I haven't got a chance to see it yet, because... Like,
you should. We should talk about that when we see it, Zach, because it's confusing as hell.
Well, yeah, you need to do two things.
I know they killed every single person in the show except for like.
Nope. Worse, dude. It's like contractually, I don't think they could kill like Big Sleep.
I'm assuming like Radner got killed because he was there. He was right there when the bomb went off. And they're burying someone, so.
Oh, man. It's so insane. You have to see it.
They just have, like, three random people they just pick up and, like, we're going to Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. They're not even, like, this. You don't even. In the first episode of the premiere, like, you don't even get to meet the whole crew.
No, you meet, like, the new Big Sleep, because they're, like, contractually obligated to have, like, a cool black guy in the group.
Was that his, like, CIA friend from the first season, or is it a different...
I don't
remember that. Remember that
know.
Dude who's, like, who's like, yo, Kane, remember back in the CIA when you were doing Black Ops?
Yeah.
Maybe?
It could be him. I'm not completely sure.
Yeah.
To be totally honest,
the editing is really confusing.
Oh, like, there! What editing? It's terrible. It's so bad. I'm like, wait, is this a dream or is this a memory? Are we seeing this now or did this already happen? Like what?
There'll be like a fight scene and there'll be a follow-up fight scene in the same like fight. And they're wearing different clothes.
Yeah.
Or like some characters have hair. Steven Seagal has a hat in one fight, and then the same next cutaway, he doesn't have a hat or.
But it makes matters even worse. It's like a flashback to like how his team is killed, and then Chris points out like, wait, he wasn't wearing a hat and sunglasses like
or carrying a katana. Holy shit! Yeah. There's a scene where he stabs someone. And I'm
I
like,
know.
Where does he have the katana?
Or my favorite, how he manages to, like Dark Knight that entire SWAT team. Like, in that motel. And, like, he gets the guy in, and they come in, and they're like, freeze! He's like, it's okay, I'm a police officer. And everyone's like, oh, okay.
Sir,
it's, like, totally cool. With it.
Sir,
you know, we have the perimeter surrounded. How'd you get in here? Well, I told you that.
Black Ops.
I have to take you to
Black Ops.
Black Ops 2.
He should like, regrow his, like, crazy Black Ops beard. For, like, that's where
it happens. Oh, God.
When I was
we be so lucky?
When I was a tier 2 operative in Afghanistan, I rescued that one guy.
Put me in a cave.
We had to go rescue that crazy guy.
Yeah, dude, but definitely.
We all got post-traumatic stress disorder.
Man, and let me tell you something. They changed the intro.
No!
Completely. Like... Yeah, I know. Our favorite song, my ringtone's gone. And it's not like fun loving Steven Seagal. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna walk down the street and karate some people and solve some mysteries.
I'm gonna polish my katana.
On a bayou.
The bayous of Seattle.
Now it's all serious, like dun 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 dun. Like it just sounds like stock like spy thriller music.
Yeah,
and it just shows like people running with like drawn guns.
I think the subtitle
is really cheesy.
It's like True Justice Vengeance or something, isn't it? Like, the subtitle of the season. I know the first episode was like.
Oh god, no! It's like No. The like subtitle for the season, it's like True Justice, like the Ghost.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what it is.
Or, like,
the ghost is like the main bad guy. Who we don't have any idea.
Yeah, like True Justice, Ghost Dead.
Who has no connections
ghost
to anything.
Dog.
The Ghost who had no connection to anything that happened in season 1.
Canterville Ghost.
We gotta call the Ghostbusters.
Justice.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Definitely
anyone listening to this, go see True Justice.
What I
want to
know
doing?
Is, like, is this season basically cut up movies too, or did they actually film like new things for reals?
It's still cut up.
I have literally no idea.
Is it still Spanish movies that they cut up into? Like Spanish only movies that they cut up into episodes?
It kind of looks like it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not really seeing too much evidence one way or another.
Because every three episodes of like the first season is a movie, and then it was like released in Spain and like there's some Spanish channel called Nitro or something. That's where they first aired.
El Nitro.
That's where they first aired, and they aired in like Europe, and then they finally came to reels.
Oh, finally.
Yep.
So these things are like years old.
I'm sure they're like well over 5 years old.
Oh, good. Man, that's really rough. That's really rough.
I
kind of feel betrayed now that I know that.
It was like Steven Seagal was in Romania just like filming like 20 movies. Yo, just I don't even know what movie I'm in. Just keep going. Just keep the cameras rolling.
I don't know what's going on. Film me.
My daughter got kidnapped, and I'm a novelist. Let's go with that. Now I'm a thief. I'm an archaeologist.
I'm a Microsoft. I'm a scientist.
I'm a computer hacker. Oh man. So anything else, guys? Individually, you guys.
I still got to compile my thoughts on a few things on a few movies I watched.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely watched a movie called. How is it called? Damn it. Yeah, look it up. Like it was one of those. It had the kid from The Masked Rider in it.
Okay. Is this like a Netflix movie something that you watched?
No, it's a movie I bought from like my Kmart 13 movie pack.
Oh Jesus Christ!
It's called The Power Within.
Okay.
It stars. No one really. And the main villain is freaking Johnny from Karate Kid.
Awesome.
So Billy I gotta Zabka? Like review that movie more. Huh?
Billy Zabka.
Is that what his name was?
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, like this movie, the whole internet has nothing about this movie. Like maybe a YouTube
clip. Doesn't exist on IMDb.
No. Like all the IMDb pages are just like weird picture links. And then, like,
even if you go,
it's gonna be a movie that
even if you go like Billy Zepka's like profile, it's not listed there.
I gotta look it up, but like, yeah, that's just like that's a movie I saw that I was drinking. I was like, there's no way to really describe this movie. So yeah, that means I've got to watch it again. Oh yeah, what have you been watching, Zach?
I watched a ton of stuff over the last couple weeks. Just quick, I finally saw Ted, and it was amazing.
Told you.
I think we have best cameo of 2012 for the Kick-Ass Awards locked up. Congratulations, Sam Jones.
I also saw Ted too. I don't forgot I saw that. That's just another thing I saw.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, I imagine if I saw that earlier.
I knew you guys would come around.
Yeah, like, I imagine if I saw that earlier in the year, or when it came out, it would have been my top 10 also.
Mm-hmm. I would say very, very close honorable mention. Like, just barely off the top 10.
Well, it felt like a very good concentrated Family Guy episode. I don't want to say that because I know Seth MacFarlane wants to make new franchises and new ideas,
mm-hmm.
but just some of the context and the delivery. It felt like a Family Guy writer wrote it.
And just like, Flash Gordon.
Or like, how about a cutaway?
Yeah, cutaways.
Okay. We'll have a flashback.
I'm just going to do my Peter Griffin voice.
Yep.
And then also, I finally watched Paranorman as well. And that movie's awesome.
Yay! It is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part, like, I loved like how you're not really sure who the villain is because it changes constantly. Like, you first like the zombies, yeah. And then like, oh, the zombies aren't that bad. It's the witch. Then they're like, oh god, the zombies did horrible things to the witch. Those, okay.
Like, adult.
Now it's adults, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that was fantastic. If you haven't seen Paranorman, check it out. And then, oh, TV-wise, I've caught up on Spartacus Vengeance, the last season of Spartacus, which was awesome.
Is it the last season, or this is it just...
Like, in 2 weeks, the last season starts.
Wow. They're not actually going to renew anything.
So Spartacus War of the Damned is the last season.
Well, it's not the same with Andy Rainville, so...
The new guy is okay, is good. Like, he's definitely not, like, everyone wishes the original guy was still there, Andy Whitfield, but. But yeah, but that show is, like, if you haven't seen Spartacus, like, definitely need to check it out, because it's awesome. Just, action's fantastic, there's, like, just gallons and gallons of blood, and just, like, all the characters are awesome.
I really do like Gods of the Arena. I didn't think I would, but then I really, really like Gattacus, so...
He's back for Vengeance.
Yeah, I saw that.
And... Oh, yeah, Lucy Lawless in the Vengeance, like, the whole season, you're thinking one thing about her character, and then the last episode, they just, like, do this insane twist, and you're like, whole... is like, one of the biggest oh shit moments of... last year, probably.
I gotta figure out how to see that, because I don't have Stars, so.
Yeah, I might need to go somewhere on the internet. A friend on the internet might have it for you, Chris. To pass along.
To the internet.
Yeah, and then last season looks crazy. It's like full-on, like, Clay or Army versus Roman Army. And also caught up on Game of Thrones, speaking of super violent, super sex-filled premium cable shows.
I like it so far.
It's I don't know if you guys heard, that's a pretty good show.
Oh, I like watched one episode and I was like, okay, and then I just like finished the whole season. I was like, what happened?
Yep, I got the first season and I watched it in like 2 days, and then I watched the second season and I watched that in like 2 days.
Yeah, it's surprisingly like good.
Yeah, it is.
I know certain people don't like to watch like I guess medieval, like quasi medieval stories. But
yeah, like and like super like political intrigue fantasy stories, like how they, like what is going on behind the scenes of this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Like who's backstabbing who and who is in power now, and cuz it gets to, like point of like There's five kings battling for this country, this kingdom.
You only have season one, right?
I've seen season one and two.
Okay, so you definitely got to the part where like they start making allegiances and stuff. Like,
yep.
Everyone start backing up each other and sort of betraying each other.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great.
Yep.
I would say I've ever watched The Sopranos. It's like that level of like intrigue where like, oh, well, what's gonna happen next?
This character is on this side. Oh wait, no, he's not.
La.
Backstab.
What a betray. I also remember Game of Thrones is going to get its own, like, beer, right?
Yeah.
Yep, that's correct. It's getting, I think, two or three different beers.
I mean, it's a marketing ploy, because, like, they don't really drink anything famous in that show.
They drink wine all the time. Like,
yeah. They're not going to make a wine. The fans aren't going to be like, ooh.
I think they mentioned beer, like, once by, like, name. Everyone's always just...
I know, those gays love HBO. They'll make a wine.
Red wine. But, yeah, it's fantastic. The special effects are awesome. When it actually has action, the action is awesome. Like, the fight scenes are great. Especially, like, well, last season, like, the season two, when they had, like, the battle for King's Landing.
Yeah.
That was awesome. They used, like, that crazy, like, explosive that they used that like, blows up the, like, green flames that, like, engulfs the
entire fight. Something hot fire or whatever. I also like just shouting the half-man.
half man, half man, half,
half man. Yeah, it's cool because you're like your feelings towards characters shift a lot, and then as soon as you like a character, they usually get killed. You're like, God damn it.
Yeah, or characters that were like you thought were gonna be douchebags, they like turned out to be kind of cool.
Yeah. But I can talk for hours about this.
Yeah,
so
maybe let's try to wrap
this up.
And after we're done, we can talk about it, Chris. Right. And then other movies I watched the Great Mouse Detective on Netflix.
Cool.
Which I haven't seen that in forever, but that movie is fantastic. It's Disney does Sherlock Holmes. Except the weird thing, it's like it's Sherlock Holmes, but it's not Sherlock Holmes because it's Basil. And Doctor, or whatever his name is. So it's not, but they live in Sherlock Holmes' wall. So like the actual Sherlock Holmes is there, and this mouse just like learned to be Sherlock Holmes from living in Sherlock Holmes' wall.
It's the quasi, like.
It's like Splinter. Splinter learned karate.
Splinter, yeah. Let's say like that. Yeah. He learned it from his master.
Yeah.
Even though I think the cartoon one, Splinter was human and then became a.
Right, yeah. It's the movie.
Movie version.
But yeah, that's a fantastic. I think it's kind of an underrated Disney movie because no one really talks about it that much.
Yeah, it's because it was like right before the
big like resurgence,
big revival. Because I know like Disney died like in like early 80s, so it's like this like late 70s, early 80s. So it's like this big funk in Disney's like, where do we go now?
It's like Aristocats and like Oliver Sword and Company. And I think Oliver Company was actually after Great Mouse Detective, but
I think Oliver Company was decent because like a lot of people were like, "Oh, this is
it's Billy it's Joel." Dancing...
Yeah, it's Billy Joel's a dog. Okay.
Yeah. It has that awesome song that is in all the trailers.
I hope they sing "Uptown Girl."
Oh my god! And reenact the music video
with cats and dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, Great Mouse Detective. Vincent Price is fantastic as the bad guy, Radigan, a.k.a. Moriarty. And actually, like, it has some, like, pretty awesome, like, action sequences for, like, the Disney movie. Like, there's, like, the part where, like, they're in, like, the toy store, and, like, they're trying to, like, dodge all the toys, like, the write-up toys that, like, the evil bat henchman lines up and sends at them.
I heard, like, yeah, it's, like, it's really creepy for like a kid to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the animation's kind of like this bizarre, too. It's almost like Pinocchio level of like creepiness.
Yeah, and the bat is like weird. Like he's like Gollum. He like talks like Gollum the entire movie. Like precious. It actually has like a pretty like vicious fight at the end too.
It's like really graphic because it's like this rat clawing out
yeah,
of
like,
the mouse.
Like he like the, like he basically just goes full on like rats like hulks out, but like a rat, like just like totally goes into like the primal rat phase, just like claws out, just like slashing at Basil, like ripping him, like cutting him open and stuff. It's insane. It also might have like the dirtiest Disney song I've ever heard. Like do you remember when they're in like the burlesque club?
The weird dance hall thing.
Like the bar dance hall, and there's like the burlesque mouse there singing, like, it's like straight up, like, I'll do you good tonight.
No, I gotta watch it again
and then,
to see that.
And everyone,
song.
The mouse, like, everyone's getting drunk, like, I can't remember what, it's not Dr. Watson, just like some other doctor name, but like, he's getting drunk and like going on stage. And I also love that, like, they keep. Basil is just the biggest asshole as Sherlock Holmes is.
Yeah, he's like just like the same like
Sherlock.
He's almost like a Robert Downey Jr. Almost his attitude is all yep. like craftiness. His demeanor
like,
towards people.
It's like the most like adorable Disney mouse girl ever. She's like
being a dick to her.
Yeah, like she's like
fuck her father.
Name's like Abigail or something, and like, she's like he keeps calling like the wrong name, and she's like no, it's Abigail. He's like whatever. Shut up, let me match this bullet. But yeah, they added it on Netflix. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it in a while. It's one of the, like, but they added actually a bunch of pretty awesome Disney movies. Like, what, the first Muppet movie's on there. Rescuers Down Under is on there. They keep adding, like, a bunch of, like, more and more every... It seems like every week or every couple of weeks they're adding more Disney movies. As part of that new deal they signed. And also on Netflix, I watched Winter's Bone, finally. Only 3 weeks, like 3 years late to the party on that one.
Never heard of it.
Winter's Bone, the debut of Jennifer Lawrence. One of, like, a bunch of Oscar nominations.
Mm-mm.
Okay. If you like Justified, it's definitely, you definitely like, probably like Winter's Bone, because it's basically the same sort of thing of, like, Appalachian crime. Like, backwoods hillbilly crime going on.
Oh, good.
Except it's like Justified if Raylan wasn't there, and just, like, everything went out of control. Because, like, it's Jennifer Lawrence, and, like, her dad is, like, this meth cooker, and he, like, felon, and, like, he jumps bail, and then they have to find him before the court date occurs, or they're gonna lose their house, because he basically put up the house as, like, bail. So they don't find him and get into court, and they'll lose their house. Basically, like, Jennifer Lawrence, like, going around, like, meth country of, like, Missouri, like, trying to figure out where her dad is.
Oh.
And then she kind of gets help, but not really. But then, from, like, her uncle, who's, like, this meth head, like, it's like Uncle Teardrop, because he has, like, this weird teardrop tattoo on his face and stuff.
Right.
And you're, like, never really sure, like, is he going to murder her or help her?
Is he, like, a creepy backwoods uncle?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's actually, like, he is Kenny Powers' brother, from Eastbound Down, John Hawks.
Oh, wow. That's like, the scary, thin... I can imagine him in overalls a lot.
Not really in overalls, but...
or like, half a pants or something.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, like, it's a really good, like, crime, like, thriller movie. And if you, like, Justified's, like, just, like, hillbilly, and, like, it could be, like, if you change it a little bit, it could be, like, The Holler, like, could be, like, in Harlan, and it'd be, like, The Holler. And then Raylan would be, like, when they're, like, investigating meth or something. And then, last but not least, I finally saw Miami Connection.
Jesus.
Which is, it has a crazy sort of backstory where, like, it was made in the 80s, debuted in, like, 3 theaters, no one saw it, everyone forgot about it, and then Everything Is Terrible dug it up, and made, like, a 3-minute movie out of it. And then, I believe, like, Alamo Drafthouse bought the rights on eBay, to the distribution rights on eBay for this movie. And then they did a whole, like, re-release. It's going to like a bunch of film festivals, and they've been doing, like, midnight movie releases of it, and just came out on Blu-ray and DVD. So I finally got to see it, and it's not really a movie, it is experience. It's like a life-changing experience. Like, it is on the level of, like, Roadhouse, or Gymkhata, or Troll 2, you know, like, the most amazing bad movies of all time.
Yeah, so it's just, like, it's so good it's bad,
It is so terrible that it is amazing.
Because
It is about this 80s rock band called Dragon Sound, and all the members of the band are black belts in Taekwondo, and they have to fight ninjas who are dealing drugs in Miami. Not really Miami, it's Orlando. So, like, the whole thing is, like, they become, like, the house band for this club, and they sing horrible, horrible, wonderfully horrible 80s songs about ninjas and being friends. And then the former band that was in there, they're, like, super red, like, super pissed off, and they, like, ask, like, this local, like, gang to try, like, beat down the new Dragon Sound so they can get their job back. So that's basically the whole middle of the movie is, like, Dragon Sound versus this, like, gang.
Right.
And then the leader of the gang is also, like, brothers, or, like, I guess, like, not really blood brothers, but, like brothers in spirit of, like, the leader of the ninja crew that's, like, getting drugs. So he gets killed, and the ninja's like, we need to get revenge for our brother. So then Dragon Style gets targeted by the ninjas. And it has...
That's really bad.
It is so, like, it has... Scene, like, it has no, like, scenes just, like, randomly go into other scenes for no reason. Like, it'll cut from, like, them in the club singing their song to, like, the most dramatic scene ever of, like, I'm sure you saw, like, the 3-minute movie, Chris, of, like, the black kid who, like, doesn't know who his father is.
Actually, he gets it by, like, a letter that's just like, hey, I found my dad!
Oh my god! But yeah, like, it cuts to them, like, in, like, the club, and then it cut to them, like, at home, and, like, like, it gets, like, and like a letter saying like they kind of find his father or something, and like a picture. It's like, and then he goes off like this like monologue of like how like my dad left me and I don't know who he is, and we were in Korea, and then I don't know where my mom went, and then I tried to mail them to the Defense Department, but I don't know where they are. It's like him crying, and everyone's just like, oh my god, don't worry, Jim, it's gonna be okay. cut, no transition, no nothing. Like, cut to them like in a dune buggy on the beach. Picking up chicks. So it is insane.
I mean, I haven't seen it in its all entirely, so I can't help like explain or wonder more. I can just be like, okay, I just gotta find a copy now.
Like here, like I'm gonna try to play like the one of the songs that they do, just to like give you an idea of what's going on. Like here's the scene in like the nightclub.
Jesus.
Oh man, that's just what like they do like full like is that like a third like they're in the club. It's like here's the whole song.
So like you have to listen to the whole like 5-minute sequence, yep, of this awkward song.
And it's also like this weird like, is it Taekwondo awesome? Because there's like a full like 5-minute like Taekwondo demonstration in the middle of the movie for no reason.
Marketing ploys and just like karate,
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo,
The very, very best thing about this movie that like, I was like fell off my couch laughing at the end of it was like, so the end fight scene is like them, like the black kid gets like slashed by like ninjas in the park, and then so the two other friends have like defend him, like kill the ninjas, so they're running, they're covered in blood, they're just running and like screaming, like full of like raging out and everything, so they killed all the ninjas and like, because like the end. They have like this quote at the end of like, the only way we'll reach world peace is to eliminate violence.
That's like the ending message.
The ending message of the movie.
God damn it!
I'm just like, oh my god.
I definitely have to find a copy, then I can help review this again, and we'll talk about it because this is definitely like we can laugh our ass off.
We might need to do a commentary. It's that amazing.
If the world could find like a DVD, we can more accessible.
Yeah. I might probably do like a musical montage about the songs next week.
Yes, like I originally knew this movie based on the song than I did about like the plot. And then like, once I figure out the plot, it gets more insane.
Like, you heard like the ninja song that they do like against the ninjas?
No.
They do this whole song like them. It's like against the ninjas.
And aren't ninjas Japanese? And they're like Korean, sort of. Like most of the band is somewhat rooted in Korean.
One of them is Korean, and he can't.
Yeah, another black.
And he cannot speak English at all.
Good. And isn't he like in the band too?
Yeah.
Great.
And they all go to like University of Central Florida together, and they're all orphans, and they're all like black belts like Taekwondo, and they're all in the band.
How convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all like mini
first, Ninja Turtles. Them versus like the most non-threatening gang in movie history.
Right.
But yeah, if you like, however you have to do it, like get a copy of Miami Connection to watch it because it is fucking incredible. Like it's gonna be like Troll 2 level of like people watching like film festivals like them like on like midnight people like quoting it and like doing crazy stuff to it probably. So that's all. That's what I've been watching over the last couple weeks. So I think we probably wrap this thing up for the week.
Cool.
If you want more from us, you can go to www.reaction.com for reviews, movies, or watching full movies. Yeah, I just put District 9 up, so you can watch that on the site. And trailers and news. Brian put up a review of Django Unchained. If you want to check that out, give it a pretty good review. And our usual regular features are going up every day on the site, so if you come check it out every day. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction, a Twitter account. You can find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes News Store, searching for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast in there, rate us, leave comments. Leave us some reviews also as well. You can also get our app on there, on the iTunes Store, free for your iPhone or iPod Touch. You get the last 20 news stories on the site, and you can also listen to the podcast in there as well. So if you download that, because it's free. You can also get us on Stitcher, Stitcher.com, search for Everything Action. You can stream us on there, subscribe to us on there. You can download episodes in there. You can also get the app for pretty much everything, every mobile device you can possibly imagine, tablets, phones, whatever, MP3 players. They have an app for it, probably. And you can also email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So, for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.